Tonight from Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Last Sunday I read scripture from the first chapter. Paul mentioned the mystery that had been hidden for generations from the Gentiles. And he said that mystery is now revealed. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the second chapter, Paul mentions that when these Colossians accepted Christ in salvation, when they became Christians through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then when they were baptized in water, it was a testimony to the world that they had died, that they were buried, and that they had been raised in newness of life. Let me say that again. Paul said, when he's writing to the Colossians, when you accepted Christ as Savior, when the Lord came into your heart, when your sins were covered by the blood, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God. He said, really, you died. You were buried with Christ. And you've been raised with Christ. In water baptism, a type of water baptism, a type of that very thing, a testimony to the world that we have died with Him, that we've been buried with Him, and have been risen again, raised again to newness of life. So Paul also mentioned how these believers in Colossae, had they been set free from the rituals and ceremonies of the Mosaic Law. Let me stop there. A lot of people have had difficulty trying to somehow get away from what God required in the Old Testament with the Hebrews and what God requires for the Christians in the New Testament. Job, we can understand from the Bible that when a Jew got saved in the New Testament after the Lord came, when a Hebrew got saved, he was saved the same way we are. No longer, and this is important, no longer the rituals and ceremonies and feast days and sacrifices and the times of washings and all the rest. None of that was now binding upon them. They have been set free from that. But I want to leave this with you tonight. God does not give us as Christians in this dispensation freedom to do as we please and live in sin. If we're going to serve God, we'll have to leave sin. Aren't you glad you walked away from it? Amen, amen. And so, although, and this is so important, God does not, we are not. We have been grafted into the olive tree, but we are not Hebrews. We are not Jews in that respect, and we are not tied to the law, nor is a Hebrew tonight that accepts Christ tied to the rituals and ceremonies of the law. He is now a Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's so important that I leave this with you. Although we've been set free, we've been delivered, we have the victory and the joy, we still have some stipulations in the Word. We must obey God's Word. And His commandments are not grievous. It's really good to serve the Lord. And I've said it so many times, God is a good God. And I thought, I'm going to read the third chapter, the first four verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I would like to use tonight as a thought, keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. Paul is speaking about the fellowship that the Christians enjoy in this life. How right now, here in this life, how that we enjoy to be with the Lord and be in the house of God, and while we're home, wherever we might be, the times we have a fellowship and communion with the Almighty God, we enjoy that in this life. But Paul said you're going to enjoy that in the life to come as well. If you'll serve the Lord, this is only the beginning. Let me say that again. It is good to know the Lord. It is good to walk with the Lord and to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. But this is only the start. Amen, amen. There is so much out there if we can just keep our eyes on the goal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like the songwriter said, living the Christian life is just a foretaste of glory divine. When I got saved, I was excited. I've been saved all these years and I'm still excited. I get so excited sometimes I overdo it. And then I lose my voice. And then I have to strain to sing or to preach. But I hope I never lose the excitement. Because it's real, amen. Thank God, thank God. In the first verse, Paul says, if you are risen with Christ, if your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, if you're one of the redeemed, if you're part of the family of God, then seek those things which are above. Let me say that again. If ye have been risen with Christ, if ye are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Last Sunday I preached from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I still believe it a week later. Amen, amen. Paul is saying something similar in the 3rd chapter of Colossians, here in this letter. If you're a new creation, he says, in the Lord Jesus, if you've been saved by grace through faith, he says, not only are you a new person, you have a new family. Hallelujah. We have a new beginning. We have a new citizenship. We have a new inheritance. We have a new home. And the Bible says we even have a new name. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And it's mine, and it's mine. Well, praise God. It's all right for the congregation to get excited. Amen, amen. There's a new name written down in glory. I can tell you when it was written down. I don't know how it does, how God does it. I don't know where he has an angel that does all of this writing in the book. I don't know if the Lord writes it himself. I just don't know. I don't know how large the letters are. I don't know how large the book is, but there's a name in heaven tonight in the book of life, and it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I'm saved by the blood. And if these blessings that's been mentioned here will be ours, we must seek those things which are above. If we're saved by grace and love the Lord, you'll seek those things which are above. We'd want to search out. When I got saved, and then we went to England just a few months later, and my wife got in with a couple of leaders of the church, the new church that was just beginning, and we began to take a Bible study course, and someone gave her a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and they would sit together sometimes for hours and read the Bible and study the Bible and mark the Bible, color charts throughout the Bible about redemption and about holiness and about Pentecost and so many other things. And we fell in love with the Bible, and I found this out tonight. I still love the Bible. I still love the Word of God. And but the Bible says, if we love Him, we will seek those things which are above. I thought of the Good Shepherd in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke that lost that one sheep out yonder somewhere. And the Bible said He took the 99 and left them in the wilderness there alone when they were in safety there. And He went out yonder to find the one that was lost. He made up my mind, I'm not going to let anything to hinder me. I'm going to stay after it. I'm determined to find Him somewhere. Listen, and He found the sheep, and I thought, God, I'm so glad that You found me, amen. I was lost and undone, but You came again, and You found me. I've heard people say, I found the Lord, He wasn't lost, it was me that was lost. And He came seeking me, and He found me. He was determined that He would not let that one be lost, and He went after Him. And I thought, if we are risen with Christ, it should be that same way with us tonight. We must be committed. We must be determined. We can't afford to spend our time on things that are temporal, that are here for a while, and then they're gone and they fade away. And they're no longer here. We're to seek those things the Bible says that are above. Seek those things that are Christ-like. Seek those things that are eternal. Let me leave something with you tonight. There are some things that you can't take with you. And if you can't take it with you, let that be secondary. Seek those things which are eternal. Thank God. Set your affection, the second verse says, on things above, not on things on the earth. I jotted something down. Don't get too attached to the things of the world. Don't get too attached to the things that are around about. Whatever it might be, your home, your job, or whatever it might be, don't get too attached to those things, because when the trumpet sounds, you're going to have to leave it all behind. think about it. When you get older, there's some things you think about that you don't think about when you're young. So let me just help those of you that are younger. When you're young, you're not thinking about the end. I'm not just talking about the end time, I'm talking about the end of your life. When you're young, you almost have the feeling that you're going to live forever. That death will not come, even if the Lord tarries, death will not come. And so often we don't put the priorities in the right place. And Paul is saying, if ye been risen with Christ, think on those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, because listen closely tonight, those things that are not from above, those things that are not eternal, they will fade away. And they will be left behind. And you will come to a time in your life as you grow older, if the Lord tarries, so many things that you've got tonight are not so important after all. When you're young, you put this aside and say, I'm going to keep that for keepsake. Or you begin to store this and store this and store this. And you've got a storehouse full. You've got a garage full. You've got an attic full. And you've got another room full. And you walk in there as you get older, look around and, really, if I had to leave that behind, what have I lost? Isn't it true? He said, if ye be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Have your mind on the things of God. Put God, church, I love you. I thank God for you. Keep your eyes and your minds on the goal, because one of these days, He's coming. And everything that we have, whatever it is, we've accumulated a lot of stuff over the years. Been married a long time and have a big house. And what's the use of having a big house and a separate garage if you don't have something in it? And we've got a bunch of stuff in it. Let me leave this with you tonight. If that trumpet sounds, I could walk away from it and never look back. Hallelujah. Set your affection on things above. The older you get in serving God and loving God and living for God, you realize there's nothing as important as living for Him. There's nothing as important as setting your affection on Him. The Bible says in one place, and I'm not going to try to quote it, but Jesus said, lay up treasures where moth and rust does not come and hinder. Lay up treasures in heaven where it cannot be stolen and the thief cannot break in and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven, brother. They'll be safe there. I thought about, I was not around during when the Depression broke in 1929. I came a little bit later. And so I am definitely not the one that caused it. I came a couple of years after the crash of 1929. And some people that were multi-millionaires committed suicide. They lost everything in one night. The stock crashed. People lost everything, just like not long ago in America. A lot of people lost so many, maybe 55% or 45% of their savings, or their retirement, or their 501, or 401, or whatever it is. Listen closely tonight. If you'll have your treasures laid up in heaven, where the world is tonight, I'll tell you something, whatever happens in this world, they are safe. Better than a safety deposit box. They tell me, remember when they were having an election, and I can't even remember when it was, who it was now, some years ago, and talking about our Social Security, and how everything was put in a lockbox, and they kept on talking about the lockbox where the Social Security funds were, and come to find out not a penny in it. All they got in that lockbox or whatever it is IOUs. The government has taken our money. I suppose they pay a saving for us as we get older for Social Security. And now we've come to the time when there's only maybe two people working, paying for one man's retirement. And if the Lord tarries very long, if something doesn't change, there'll be no Social Security. But there is security. He said, lay up your treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. He's talking more than just about money. That's a part of it, surely. That's a part of it, but thank God there's more than that. Lay up treasures in heaven where the moth and the rust does not hinder, But God will be there. For where your treasure is, the Bible says, there will your heart be also. David said in the 21st Psalm, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, he said, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want you to think about it tonight. Not only did David say that I would love to be in the house of God, not only did he say that I love to go to God's house and fellowship with the people of God, the singing and worshiping and praising and magnifying God. But David said, I desire to dwell there in his presence forever and forever. I desire to stay in the presence of God. I was thinking about that tonight before service, and I thought about Peter, James, and John going to the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, and when Enoch and Moses and Elijah appeared on the mountain with the Lord, and here was the Lord in his glorified state, and Peter said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Elijah, and one for Moses, and then he said, let's stay up here. Now, you know what? I don't blame him one iota. Why go down there when the glory of the Lord is up here? I go down there when I'm with the Lord fellowshipping. Here is Elijah talking about when he was caught up in a chair. Here was Moses on the top of the mountain talking about all that God had done in that wilderness crossing. And now Peter said, Lord, just let's stay here. Amen. One of these days we're going to stay with him. David said, I love to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to abide in his presence. And I believe in the back of his mind what he's saying is, well, it is good in this life to dwell with God and with his people, fellowshipping together in the house of God. But one day, we're going to come to the house of God on the other side. And there'll never be any benedictions. And there'll never be any more goodbyes forever and forever and forever. With the Lord, brother, I can't even comprehend that. But it's going to be forever. Amen, amen, amen. David loved to go to the house of God. I've got a marker. I'm going to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to read from the 8th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The writer said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange land, strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was promised the land of Canaan as an inheritance, not only for him, but for his children, for Isaac and his grandson Jacob, and his great-grandson Joseph, and on down the line, it had been promised as an inheritance, but he had something greater, and I want you to stay with me right now. When he left the land of Mesopotamia, and he was on his way through the fertile Cushan, he went up by the Euphrates River, and he made his way north towards Syria, and then he made it, was going down, and God was leading him, and God said, I will direct you, if you'll obey me, I'll give you a land as your inheritance, and for your children forever. But then the Bible says, as I've just read, that Abraham obeyed the Lord, not knowing where he was going. That takes faith. But he obeyed the Lord. Listen closely. He was looking for something greater than Canaan, because he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He had a heaven in view. He had a heaven of vision. He was sent out of Mesopotamia to find an inheritance in the Canaan land. But he had something in the back of his mind that was greater than Canaan land. The Canaan land was the floor with milk and honey. But he was going to a place, hallelujah, where the tree of life is there, man, where the glory of the Lord is, in that heavenly city called Jerusalem. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. If ye be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. Abraham surely was glad to find that land that God promised him, but his eyes were on something greater. I thought how good God has been. how God has blessed our lives, how God has blessed the church. Over the years, what God has done, how God's been so good to us, and I give Him glory and praise and thanksgiving. But He says, now set your eyes and your thoughts on the things yonder in the glory world. And I'm convinced those who have genuine experience with the Lord, who love the Lord with all of their hearts, will have the same kind of desires that David had and Abraham had. We'll fill our hearts and our lives with those things that are spiritual, that are eternal, rather than temporal. When writing to the Philippians, Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue of God, and if there be any praise, think on these things. He's saying, fill your heart and your minds and your life with these things, and the person that does that will always have something, some victory in his life. He'll always have joy. Set your affection on things above, and you'll be blessed by the Almighty God. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Fill your hearts and minds. And then, in the third verse, let me read it again. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, that doesn't sound too promising, the first words. Every one of us know tonight that when we were in sin, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no life whatsoever, spiritually speaking. We were lost and undone, dead, dead, dead. But now we've been forgiven, and our sins have been covered by the blood, and we have the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives, and we enjoy a new life. Then the Bible says, we are enjoying a new life, and then Paul said, you're dead. And it sounds like a contradiction, but it's true nonetheless. The person risen with Christ, the person that has his affection set on the things above, is dead, Paul said. And so let me share this with you tonight. There was a time in the early months of 1955, my wife and I were dead. But in the second month of 1955, we came alive. We got saved. And now that we're saved, we're dead. That's what Paul said. If ye be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not the things of this earth, for ye are dead. We're alive in Christ, but we're dead. And so I want to explain that. Those who have set their affection on things above and have risen with Christ, we are dead to sin. We're dead to pleasures of this world. We're dead to the old habits. We're dead to self. We've died out to the things of the world. If we're going to serve God and love God and live for God, we must be dead to the things out there. If any man love the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. John said, the love of God is not in him. I'm glad tonight that God has taken the love of the things of the world, the pleasures of sin away, and given me something a whole lot better. Amen. We're serving a good God. He said, lay this aside, man, and I did. He said, now I'm going to give you a whole lot more. Did He do the same for you? Amen. What a Savior, what a mighty God. If He ever tells you to lay this aside, it's not good, He's got something better. Yes. What a Savior, if ye be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth, for ye are dead. And I got some scriptures together that I wanted to leave with you tonight. This is talking about the sanctified life in the third verse. We are dead to self and to sin in the world. I want you to share a picture tonight of the person that is dead, and his life is hid with Christ in God, the Bible says in that verse. For your life is hid with Christ in God. I went to my friend David. I like him. I read the 27th chapter, the first verse. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David was saying, I have nothing to fear in this life because my life is hid with Christ in God. Let me say that again. When the enemy comes, whatever happens, I will not fear. I have anchored in Jesus. My life is hid with Christ in God. In the 61st Psalm he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah, for thou hast been a shelter for me. When I was in the a cappella choir in Hampton High School, back in the 40s, we would sing that song. Our song leader, our choir leader, the a cappella choir leader was the song leader at the Alder Grace Methodist Church over on Kickatan Road, and I don't know the on the corner there of Kickatan Road or something, but I remember how that she would lead us, and a lot of the songs that we sung in the a cappella choir was from the Scriptures, and we would sing that song, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I want you to know tonight, if we'll come to the Lord, He'll be a shelter in the time of storm. David said, my life is hid with Christ in God. I have no reason to fear. Let Satan come, let him roar like a lion, let him do what he will, let him say what he will. I've got my anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. In the 91st Psalm, the psalmist said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my God. He's my fortress. He's my God. In Him will I trust. You know what he was saying in that psalm? David was saying, my life is hid with Christ in God. He is my high tower. He is my fortress. He's all that I need. I'm safe in the arms of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the world do what they will. We are hid with Christ in God. Brother, that's shouting religion. Amen. Amen. That's something to rejoice about. When the enemy's out there roaring, trying to deceive and tear down and destroy, how to get your children and your grandchildren and your marriage and all the rest. He's out to tear it down and destroy it. But we are hid with Christ in God. He cannot cross the bloodline. Satan can only go so far, and that's as far as he can go. Aren't you glad you're in the arms of the Lord? Safe in the arms of God. I remember, it's a long time ago, I came home on a vacation furlough before I got married. And I was a backslider. My mom and daddy knew it. I didn't think they knew it, but they were smarter than I thought they were. They knew that I left home as a Christian, but something has happened over these 2 or 3 or 4 years I'd been gone. And my mama came to me. She was the piano player in the church, and she said, son, we used to sing together. Will you sing with me tonight? I said, yes, ma'am. If your mama asks you to sing, you sing. If you can. You'll even sing if you can't. Mama said, will you sing with me? I said, yes, ma'am. And she picked out the song, Where Are You Gonna Hide? Have you ever heard a song? Where Are You Gonna Hide? When the earthquakes rock this world, where are you going to hide when the stars from space are hurled? When they're falling and the tribulation breaks across the land, where are you going to hide? Here I am, a backslider, standing at the piano beside my mother, singing with her. Where are you going to hide? And I realize I don't have a hiding place. But I found him. I found a hiding place. It's in Jesus. I found the rock that is higher than I. I found the fortress in the Lord. I found He's all that I need. Hallelujah. He's everything that I need. Thank God, thank God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Satan, you might as well leave me alone now. Let me just leave something with you. I don't care how long we live in this life, Satan will try to tempt you. But when you defeat him, and he knows he's been defeated, you've won the victory. It's apt to be the next time he will try to deceive you on something else. But after a while, and I say this as an older person that's been with the Lord, there come a time
Now, don't get me wrong. Satan will still try the best he can. There can come a time in your life that a whole lot of things don't tempt you anymore. Satan will leave you alone on a lot of things. He realizes he's fighting a losing battle with you. Why waste his time on you if you've already made up your mind and he finds out that you have defeated him over and over again? Why would he continue to knock and try to turn you down? He will try sometimes, but listen carefully. It gets better and sweeter as the days go by. Well, say, preacher, you defeat Satan today and defeat him tomorrow and defeat him the next day, and after about a year or two, brother, he'll go somewhere else. Doesn't mean he won't come around once in a while. But I found a hiding place. There's times when he can't even find me. I'm hid with Christ in God. He's got his arms wrapped around me. Hallelujah. I've entered into that holy place, amen. Brother, that's some good sermon material there. Maybe another time. Thank God, thank God. This is the best place in the world. Now, I'll use an illustration and then I'm going to close in a moment. When we were young, I'm talking about young. And I remember where we were living, and brother, to be living there, I couldn't be over 4 years of age. And it was nearly Christmas time, and I told the story before, but some of you were not here. And we had some relatives that came to visit us. My uncle lived over there on right across from the car barn where the buses stay now. It used to be streetcars. My uncle was a streetcar conductor, a driver, or whatever. And he brought his family out to where we lived. And then we had another uncle that had lived on the same part of town, and they all came out. And we were having a good time, cheering, all a bunch of us. We were having a good time, and it was not too long before Christmas, and I hope every little child will understand. But Mom and Dad had gone and bought something for my sister. Now, she was the oldest of us children, and they bought something, and to keep it hidden before Christmas, they put it in the loft over the barn, hidden, so no one would find it. Who's going to get up there looking for something? And us children were going to play hide-and-go-seek. And I had a cousin came down out of the loft over that barn and said, "Captain, guess what I found?" A table and chairs and T-shirt or whatever. "Guess what I found?" And, well, that blew it. But listen closely. That was my cousins. And they were not devilish. But the devil would try his best. But let me leave something with you. He can't find me if I'm wrapped up in the Lord. If I'm hid with Christ in God. The safest place that you can ever live is hid with Christ in God. If ye be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above and not things of this earth, for you're dead and you're here with Christ in God. That's a tremendous thought. I've never preached that. The more I think about it right now, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to try. But I am here with Christ in God. But then the next verse, and I'm going to close. The fourth verse says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ is our life, he shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." I'm going to close tonight with that thought. One of the great promises of the Bible. It was from our Sunday school lesson this morning, talking about the rapture, and then talking about the Lord coming back to this earth again, and how we're going to go out to be with the Lord, and then how we're coming back again when he comes back from heaven, back to this earth. But there's one thing I leave with you tonight. There's one thing of which you can be assured out of all the Bible, and I believe every bit of it. When God promises something, stand on it, it's going to happen. Amen. One thing that I leave with you tonight, you can be absolutely sure of. He is going to appear. He is going to make his appearance. I am standing on that promise. From the night I got saved until the night I'm standing on that promise, Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13 or 2:12. Titus 2. I want you to understand tonight, hallelujah, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Almighty God. And what God says He will do, He will do. And I'm going to leave this with you and we're going to close and my wife's going to the piano. I know He's coming. Jesus Himself said He was. He's not a man that He can lie. Has never lied. And He's not going to start now. Jesus said, I will come again. Peter said, He's coming back. John said, He's coming back. Paul said, 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, He's coming back. Jude said, He's coming back. The angel said in the 1st chapter of Acts, He's coming back. If you have any confidence in your preacher tonight, let me tell you, He's coming back. He's coming back. And when He appears, we're going to appear with Him in glory. That's another thought when I was preparing the sermon. Man, I got some good stuff if I can get it out. We shall appear with Him in glory. Play something softly, honey. Can you imagine the streets of gold? If we went in this body, it would contaminate them. We're going to have a glorified body. When we enter that city called heaven, we're going to have a body like the Lord. He's coming back. We shall appear with Him. We're not going to meet Peter at the gate and be judged, and Peter's going to decide whether we come in or not. We're going to be judged when the trumpet sounds. And if we're ready, brother, we're going to be changed and caught out. When He shall appear, we shall appear with Him. And I can imagine, and I don't know how it's going to be, and I just leave this a thought in your mind, and I'm going to close. Jesus is going to present the church, the bride, the blood wash, the body of Christ. Jesus is going to present the church unto the Father. I have never preached this, but let me just say something here. I don't know how it's going to be. I've never been there. But it might be something like this when we get to heaven. Father, here's Glenn Jones from Hampton, Virginia. He's one of yours because I saved him. I died for him. Present us to the Father. That would be an individual thing. I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. But one thing I know, that's the church we're going to be presented. Without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Holy unto the Lord. Because our life has been hid with Christ and God. Let me leave this with you tonight. In the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. Set your affection on things above. Don't let the things of this world that will be here for a while and be gone. Don't let them tie you down. Don't let them take up all of your time. They're just temporary. They're going to be gone soon. Keep your eyes on the goal. That's my sermon tonight. Keep your eyes on the goal. He's coming. Will you stand together with me? Thank God.